5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed, the broken head, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad editor, bad tape, bad law, bad dude, bad bread, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palatia right across the river and through the woods from where Granny just busted off an entire bottle of Pinot with a couple of THC lozenges in New York City. The Big Apple. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up, should do it. All my friends that come around, flats and flats, a party of rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown. What a mess, this town's a tatter. My brain splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake out. Ooh. Hey, what's kicking? I'm Farrell with Mafia tonight on a Thursday night. So we got a lot going on tonight. Obviously, we're going to have badass Chad Dukes on from The Fan in D.C., where all hell is breaking loose again. First, it was the team mascot, nickname, whatever the hell you want to call it. And they changed the name. They haven't picked a name yet, but they got rid of Redskins. And that drew all kinds of attention. And Daniel Snyder's pockets were affected. It was deep pockets being affected by massive amounts of money and sponsorships, FedEx, otherwise. And then now there's a gigantic scandal brewing in a story from the Washington Post about sexual harassment. So there's just a massive story going on in our nation's capital that doesn't have anything to do with the president. It has to do with the football team. 15 women have come forward allegedly with charges of just a hostile work environment. We'll get into all of it tonight with Chad Dukes. Mafia will cause trouble with us. It's all on Farrell on the Bench.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Yeah, so Church of Pharrell is back up and running. Mafia, I have called it what? The Pharrella Pub, the Pharrella Chat, all this other nonsense. I don't know why I didn't think of, bringing back the church. You know what I mean? The Church of Pharrell, where all sins will be revealed. You can talk about anything in there. Is that about right, Mafia? Like, it's no rules, no laws, no limits in the chat room. Anything goes?
That's certainly how it was back in the day, but also that's how our show was. So our show's a little different. I don't know if they wouldn't have changed how they were, but, you know, they were operating, you know, Wild West style out there.
So, I'm trying to figure out what that even means. You mean like, what you mean when we were on satellite or something? It was Wild West?
Yeah, we were on satellite. We were going crazy. We had all sorts of crazy things going on between the ladies we had in the studio, the music blaring, and things happening all over the place, saying whatever we want, no matter how we wanted to
porno.
Say it.
So. Porno.
Oh, yeah, porno, just cussing, everything.
What did you think when you were coming out of Seton Hall? One thing leads to another. You're running NASCAR races at Sirius, and then I bring you down the hall and I say, it was like a scene from Scarface, wasn't it? Remember when, do you remember the scene when, and I'm not Mr. Movie Buff. I love movies, as you know, but I watch movies pretty much once. If I watch them twice, it's a miracle. I have to really like a movie to watch it a bunch of times. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like The Godfather and things like that. Scarface, as I've said on this show, is like my favorite movie of all time. And do you remember the scene when they go into the car dealership and Frank and the cop are and Mel are in the office and they're laughing and drinking scotch and they're, you know, laughing that they had killed Tony in the nightclub because they sent the goons to shoot him. And they thought they killed him, and they're back in there celebrating and laughing. And here comes Tony with his arm in a sling, and he's with Manny, and he's covered in blood. He's in his suit. He walks in, and then he says to Frank, you know, at the end of the scene, he's like, "I'm not gonna kill you. Kill that piece of shack, Manny." And then he shot him in the chest a few times, dead. He's like, "No." Ah. And then he looked over and he sat in a chair and he looked over at the cop, and the cop's sitting there with his arms crossed and he's got the gun in his holster, right? And the cop's sitting there going, "I told him, I warned Frank." And then Tony goes, "You for all dumb, man." Right in his belly. Do you remember when? And then he was dead. And then they got up to leave and they're just walking out. And Manny's like, "Tony, what about Ernie?" And then he looked over at Ernie and he goes, "Hey, Ernie, you want a job?" And the guy's like, "Yeah, Tony. Yeah, I want a job." And he's like, "Oh, good. I'll see you tomorrow then, okay?" And then that's what I thought of the scene with you, Mafia, when you were just a young gun coming out of Seton Hall and you were, you know, basically speechless, and you just kind of worked in the NASCAR division or something like that. And then I was like, "You want a job, Ernie?" And then you got the job. Is that does that sound familiar at all to you? Like that happened?
Yeah, of course. Like, I remember exactly what happened that night. But I mean, there was obviously history between us before. Like, I interned with you for a semester, and then afterwards, I was still hanging around. You know, just coming in like once a week, hang with you guys, then started working in the sports department at Sirius. You guys helped me get that one. And then, you know, whenever you're on the road doing UFCs every month, I was running it for you. So then when all of a sudden you had the blow up that one night that you're referencing when the one guy lost his mind, and it's like, I was working in the sports department and I started getting texts about it. I'm like, "What are you talking about? I don't know what's going on." So I walked down there and I see that the guy's not there. I'm like, "What's happening?" And like you said, you know, that night is like, "You want to work with us?" All right, well, I'm telling him tomorrow. And the next day was just like that. You know, I was in.
Yeah, that guy lost his mind in the studio one night. I never knew, like, all that was going on where he, like, didn't like me or something like that. It's pretty funny because, as you know, like, you remember, I was really good to that kid, right? So I took him all over the world. I took him to, you know, prize fights. He saw things he'd never seen before. He lived the high life. He had it all. And back then, I still partied, right? So, I mean, that kid got to party like nobody's business, right? That kid was he was living large, bro. He was rolling. I heard
stories from guys out in Vegas and, you know, for the UFC fights with your buddy would roll in from San Diego, bringing ladies, hitting the clubs, and you guys would get bottle service and everything.
I mean, you name it. And then all nightclubs, overnight clubs, strip clubs, you name it, everything, all kinds of action, drinking, drugs. It was all there. And then like, apparently one day he just freaked out. Do you really think that guy hated me, or do you think he was just mad that the Penguins beat the Rangers or something?
No, no. It was just that there was, you know, a lot of stuff festering about the job, the pay, all things like that, all the stuff that was out of your control. And, you know, the blame got put on you for, you know, whatever reason that night. You gave him a little jab because of your team's playing, which you do with everybody. You know, it's just the good-natured fun that we have. You rib each other when they're, you know, your team's down. And then you took it as an opportunity to just let it all loose. The, you know, the steam finally burst the pipe, and that was it.
And then he called me a sea sucker and everything else. And then he and then I said, you know what, bro? You need to – here. Here's what I'm going to do for you. Do you remember? I, like, said, here's $20. Here's a doobie. Go down to the Del Frisco's, have a scotch, smoke this bone before you go in there. Think about it, you know, think about it. Maybe go home for the night and smoke half of it, take the rest home, go home, smoke the rest of it, go to bed, get a good night's sleep. And then tomorrow morning you can make, you know, your decision. You know, think it over and think clearly, and then, you know, call it a day. Tomorrow you can make your mind up if you really think I'm a sea sucker and you want to end your time here. He's like, no. He's like, you're a sea sucker. It's tonight. And I'm like, okay, well then I Joe Wested him. Do you remember? I gave him the hook. I said, all right, then if you want it tonight, then I'll give it to you tonight. And I fired him and I gave him the hook. I gave him the Joe West. And then he threw a temper tantrum or something. He started freaking out and you guys had to hold him back. Didn't you have to hold him back from trying to fight me?
I think they did. I wasn't there at the time, but yeah, I think a couple of guys did that were there hanging out. Young, the other guy that was working at the time, and maybe one of the other guys from the channel that was around.
He tried to attack me, and I was like, bro, you know me, I'm 6'3", 220, let's go. Whatever you want. You want? Is that what you want? Because I'll give it to you. Is that what you want? Because let's go. Let's do it. If that's what you want, I'll give you that too. I'll still give you the 20 and a doobie, and I'll smack you a few times in the face. And then they carried him out, security, and like they carried him from his hands and his ankles out of the building. And then I sang with a Rover mic. I'm like, Lou, give me a Rover mic. And I ran down the hallway and I sang, good night, Irene. And, you know, I sang to him as he got fired. It was awful. I didn't want that for him. I liked the kid. I didn't like his team. That's your team. I don't like you either. But
you know, the feeling's mutual. But you know what? I put that aside for the job.
But I said to you then, I think at that point, I was like, you want a job, Ernie?
You did. You saw me that night after it all happened. It's like, you in? Let's go. Because you were trying to get me hired before, and they wouldn't add another guy to the show. So you're like, spots opened up. You want it?
There you go.
Like, let's do this.
And the rest is history, right? So is Dukesy coming up next here? Is that when he's coming on? I think that's a yes. I have no idea. I didn't even hear him talking to me.
Yes, you'll be on next segment with us.
Are you going to be there about I don't know what he's saying to me. Jamaica, he's away from the doors. All right, so the Church of Varela is open. That's the YouTube chat room. Just go to YouTube, search Sports Grid Radio. You'll see Pharrell and Avenge. Click it. Get in the chat room. Ask me anything. Talk to me. I'm in there. What's up? Chad Duke's next from the Fan of DC on Avenge.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. It's always great to have Chad Dukes on the show. He's a badass. We all know him from The Fan in D.C. He's got the best show there, bar none. One of the best hosts in the country on the radio. One of my favorites, funny dude. I get it. Just like, you know, Howard Stern liked him too, just like I do. It's simple. I knew he was a talented dude. And I think, you know, I didn't pretty much think I knew him before Howard. I was like, wow, this guy's crazy. I like him. Let's get him on more. And he's just blown up. He's enormous now. Always enjoy having him back on the show. And I'm glad I'm friends with him. He's good people. How you doing, Dukes? What's up, brother? How you doing? Everything cool?
I am steamed up to get on the grid with my guy, Scotty Pharrell. I got a text from Mafia. Every time I get a text from Mafia, my day gets a little bit better. The brown liquor tastes a little bit
right.
Better. And yes, that is 100%. You were on the Duke's bandwagon well before the king of all media. And I always appreciate that from you, Scotty.
Well, you got it. You know, I'm on your side and I'm glad that he finds you as talented as I do. But let's get down to business. So, you know, I got to tell you, this does not really surprise me that much. I actually know some of these people. And I said this on my show today, that I knew him a long time ago. I'm not going to name names because I don't need lawyers right now in my life. I'm not going to get involved in all that and start throwing people into the river, right, without a raft. But I will say this. I know a couple people there, and I'll just say, and this is what I said on my show, that, you know, they were creeps. I mean, these dudes were freaky sex fiends, and they were like cheating on their wives, getting absolutely hammered. I mean, you name it. It didn't matter who it was, strippers, hookers, the whole deal. And I mean, I have done it. I have done it all with these people. I have done it all with them. I mean, you name it, A to Z, drugs, booze, sex, all of it. And, you know, the one thing I always told my guys, I would tell them this story and I'd be like, I can't even make this stuff up. It's so crazy. And then all these years later, now they're dropping like flies at the Washington Redskins. And you could probably put it all together yourself, Chad, of what I'm talking about. I don't know if you can. I think you can. But all I know is the dominoes are falling. Tell me what is going on and how the hell this thing blew up like it did. It's only going to get worse too, right?
Yeah. That's the way it feels, Scotty. And I have, I've talked to so many people about this and it's been, I got to say, it's been an awful 4 days because what you've had here locally in Washington, D.C. is you've had a bunch of beat reporters and a bunch of people to cover this team that are trying to get their little slice of fame off of what the Washington Post report was. So they're coming out on Twitter. They're coming out on social media. They're coming out and saying, this is terrible. This is the worst. I mean, they're painting this thing to be the end of Breaking Bad. And so when it finally happens today instead of talking about these women, talking about the culture, talking about making it better, everybody's kind of like, well, that's not such a big deal. And that's not the conversation you want to have when you have 15 people move forward and say, hey, this is not acceptable, what's going on here. And what I'm trying to figure out, Scotty, because this all came down, like the report came down 10 minutes left in my radio show. So I stayed on and did extra time and everybody kind of, you know, rallies the troops. But what we're trying to figure out is, you know, you got these minority owners coming out and saying, hey, we're trying to sell off our stake and nobody will buy it. And then all of a sudden the name change comes down out of nowhere when Snyder definitively said, I'm never changing the name. And then you've just had since Sunday night nothing but reports of this is the apocalypse. This is the end of days. The Redskins front office is trying to summon Dormammu and have him wreak havoc all over downtown Washington, D.C., this fiery demon breath. And then it's a very difficult thing to sit here and say it's not all connected. This isn't all part of a greater power play. I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy, Scotty. You've had me on for quite some time. I think we know each other a little bit, but right. It's difficult not to look at the series of events that's been set into motion here locally with the football team and not think, well, there's really powerful people involved. Perhaps it's all symptomatic of a greater whole.
Well, so when you did the show today and you stayed on after, what the hell happened?
I got to say, if I'm being honest, and I'm not speaking for myself, I'm speaking for my listeners, the phones completely dried up. I mean, it felt like it was the most anticlimactic reveal of all time. I got 10 billion more calls when we were just speculating as to what it could be. And I was trying to do my best not to speculate. We were talking about the name change, 10 billion more phone calls. And you know this, like phone calls aren't the greatest barometer for what your listenership is actually thinking, but you know, there wasn't much of a reaction. And I had JP Finley on from NBC Sports Washington, and he was kind of talking about this and how there's rumors and rumblings about this. But here's what's strange is that everyone keeps thinking this is something that's going to force Dan Snyder to sell the football team. But when you look at the people that have been kind of forced into this position, whether it's Jerry Richardson or Donald Sterling or whatever, there's no allegations against Dan Snyder here. I mean, there's a little byline here if you haven't read the Washington Post article, because of course it's behind a paywall, but luckily everybody is copying and pasting and pushing it everywhere all over the internet, because that's what we do. They're saying, well, you know, they're dubious that the ownership did not know about it, but there's no allegations against Snyder and Bruce Allen. So while this needs to be cleaned up, and unfortunately Ron Rivera, who's the football coach, is the guy talking about this now, which is inexplicable. I don't know why people seem so convinced this means it's the end of the Snyder days here in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I don't, I still haven't gone there yet. I don't even believe that. First of all, I thought that he would, you know, I've been following that story even with you, but I followed it since the beginning of time. Like when he got the team in 99, I think it was, I was already doing those shows. I've said this on the show many times. I did shows with Johnny Cochran out in LA, and I got into arguments with the Native Americans on television. I'll never forget. I argued with some powerful woman from a tribal group, and I just went at it with her. And I was like, listen, I'm on your side. I truly believe that it's racist, and I think it's terrible. But I said, this guy's never going to change the name of that team. He's just Napoleon. He's just not going to do it. No one's going to tell him what to do with his, you know, multi-billion dollar toys. And that's all there is to it. I said, you'll be doing this for the rest of your life. Sure enough, whatever it is, 20 some years later, I guess she gets the last laugh, and so do they, because they're changing the name of it. But I think it was because of money. It certainly wasn't because of pressure from them. I think that he is doing what he has to do to save face on, you know, fiscal matters. But then this happens now with the Post story and everything. And I still don't believe, even with the name change or that, I still don't believe that he's selling that team.
No, it would take force majeure. You know, it would take the league deciding they're going to do it. Look, I just don't know that the league, even if they want Snyder out with all of their being, Scotty, like, are they going to set this precedent? Like, you've got these complaints, and these are legitimate complaints. But, you know, you know how many tweets I got today with people saying this happens in every workplace in America, that this isn't as big a deal as we all think, that it's – I mean, it just – I don't know. The public sentiment – on this has shifted. And I think it has, a lot of it has nothing to do really with the case itself. It has to do with the fire and brimstone that was being rained down upon us about what this could potentially be. And I don't know if you saw the same stuff that I did, but sex trafficking and drug trafficking, and he's going to Epstein's Island, and they're doing this, right. And Jay Gruden's involved with a threesome with this player. I'm like, what in the hell are we talking about here? And then none of that happens, so you kind of lose a little bit of momentum. Look, I think we need to focus on, and Rivera actually did a really good job. He came out and said, look, we're building a new culture here, and it's right. necessary, and that's part of it. Scotty, let me ask you a question. You think Ron Rivera is sitting at home thinking anything but, I wish I would have taken a couple more interviews. I wish I would have talked to a couple more teams before I decided to, I got to trade Trent Williams and Quentin Dunbar, and then there's the draft, and oh, by the way, COVID, and then the name's going to change, and there's no team president, so I'm getting asked about the name 355,000 times a day, and oh, by the way, now we're going to have 14 different women step up and say that they were harassed in the workplace. I bet that guy's wishing he answered his phone a couple more times before he agreed to work for this organization.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with you, but I still think after if he has a three fingers and chills out a little bit, he'll realize that that they actually do have a lot of really talented players on the team. This is about playing football. He's a football coach. This isn't his doing. I think at some level, someone has to calm him down, and there's no getting out of it now. I think he's handled it professionally and bravely, and I think that he's saying all the right things. But listen, you know, it's one of those things where, and I'm not an expert on this, but I've certainly been through the rigors of the sexual harassment, you know, testing and meetings and conferences and you know, whatever you call them, where they force the employees to go to these, you know, sessions or whatever the hell they are in the conference room or in the, you know, one of those deals. Then they make you take tests and everything else. One of the things is that every time this happens, these companies start losing their minds about it.
Right.
When it has nothing to do with them. Like, you know, it may be going on everywhere. We know it's been going on forever because it's a real problem in the world. And people deal with it accordingly. But it's like every time it happens somewhere, then everyone else starts overreacting to it and starts making everybody start taking tests again and everything else. I'm sick and tired of taking tests about it. You're either a creep or you aren't. And we're going to come back with Chad Dukes. We're going to talk more about this. I got to ask him questions. We're going to go back in time when I was calling Jay Gruden a fat ass. And I kind of wish he ended up with a bunch of hoes, to be honest. All right, for On the Bench, we're talking to Chad Dukes from The Fan in D.C. When I used to remember, I used to call Jay Gruden a fat ass, and he's like, I don't like that gravelly voice guy on the radio calling me a fat ass. I'm not that fat. You remember all that? So
yeah, of course.
What about the none of that? Like, so they tried to drag him into this. Was any of that? None of that's true at all. So this is strictly power up top in the organization. And the thing is, you're telling me that none of it, like Dan Snyder has no involvement in this at all. There's no allegations specifically against him. It's the front office and the culture and what's going on at the organization, blah, blah, blah. But it's not him. And so in my opinion, like I said before, he's not selling a team. Not only that, if he didn't do it, they've got nothing on him. What are they going to sue him? Maybe, but he's not losing his team over it because he didn't do it. It's a bunch of people that work there, and they're firing them one by one, aren't they?
Well, they've gotten rid of everybody that has had anything to do with this. So any of the people that are the allegations, some of them have gone years ago, but they're all out of the building, and they've retained counsel, and they are there's been a lot of speculation. It's one of the reasons, Scotty, why this didn't drop earlier in the week is because of the litigious nature of this. So, look, if we're going to sit here and deal in facts, you and I can speculate all we want and kind of being around the business and being around people long enough, we could probably understand there's some hijinks that were going on that probably, you know, various groups of people were involved in. But if we're dealing with the facts, there are no allegations against Dan Snyder. There's no allegations against Bruce Allen, who has departed. And every single person that there are allegations against is no longer a member of this organization. They have a new head coach. They have a new name, and they are moving forward with a complete and total culture shift. So on paper right now, I don't know how you're going to say Dan Snyder needs to go. Now, Florio, this is his Super Bowl. He gets on and says, you know, Snyder is responsible for the entire culture. I did my show for an entire season out at Redskins Park. I didn't see Dan Snyder once. I'm not going to sit here and defend him all evening on your show, but what I'll say is it's real easy to say, well, the boss should have known. The boss knows about everything. The boss is on his yacht in Europe, you know? Like, he's ultimately responsible. I understand that, but, you know, people are getting fired. People are losing their jobs for acting completely inappropriately, and I kind of think that's the results of what happens when you find out about this conduct. So, you know, rather than go down there to Ashburn and burn down the practice bubble, like, you know, I'm curious as to what people could do based on the knowledge of what we have, the facts in front of us.
Do you, like, you know what I said before about how whenever it's like, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen is how whenever a case becomes public about this issue, and it is clearly a problem in this world with, you know, sexual harassment and also Me Too movement, all this other stuff. And respectfully, I get it. Like, it is legit. It is a serious problem. I've never not believed that. I think it's really uncool what happens. But am I wrong in the sense of, because mafia will tell you, as God is my witness, you know what? I don't have to worry about stuff like that. I'm not that guy. You know, I'm an alcoholic. I've partied. I've done drugs. I've done everything. I have done everything bad in the world. I have done more than everyone. I have done everything bad you can imagine, and then some. And I should be dead. And mafia knows it. Mafia has crashed in on my hotel suites before, and it's like a bad scene out of a movie. And he has seen things with me. It's just like, oh my God, this dude is completely nuts. He's naked, and there's just massive amounts of narcotics and booze and porno going. There's a lot of bad things going on here. But he's never once has anyone ever said, mafia, back me up on this. You've never seen me ever treat women bad or cheat on my wife or any girlfriend or anyone I've ever known. That I'm just not that guy. It's not in my DNA to do that. And Mavi, I'm not buttering my own bread here. I'm making a point. Is it true or not?
It's true. I've never seen you act inappropriately around a female employee, colleague, anything like that.
I get along with women. I don't mess with them. Right. Fair enough. So respectfully, I say this. My point is this, Chad. I think that why is it that every time this happens, suddenly I'll get an email that I got to go to some sexual harassment clinic or a meeting. I got to take a test. Yeah. I'm 55 years old. I'm done taking Ferellin tests. OK, the next guy that asked me to take a test about this stuff, I'm quitting. Okay, I'm just not doing it. So I'll see you in court. I'm not doing it. I'm done with the test. Mafia, we run a basketball league. They make me take that test 15 times. I'm done. How many times do I pass it before I'm done with it? You know what I mean? Like, I don't even want to know women, let alone take a test 15 times. And what do the tests prove? And you know I'm telling the truth, Chad, because you do it at your radio station right now. Sure. I know that. I work for them. Don't even tell me I'm tripping, because they make you do it too with all their nonsense. So I know they're a bunch of femmes to begin with. So the point is this. Why is it that every time it happens, it suddenly turns on all of us?
I don't know, Scotty. How come every time the internet goes down at the radio station, it takes 15 calls to 15 different engineers and everyone sends it straight to voicemail? But when those tests are due, the boss is at your front door rapping on the back of your computer saying, hey, you haven't done this yet. I know exactly what you mean. It's complete CIA mode. And it's absolutely, I mean, look, if you have a history of this, like, you got a sign out in front of your house. All right, let's test you every 15 seconds. Like, you're walking around with the sniffles with 120 temperature. Let's get you a COVID test. But, like, okay. But the rest of us, we're going to have to sit here and be victimized because of this, because there's a few perverts walking around. I think we could do a better job of maybe pointing out the perverts. That's something that I kind of do. But another part of this, Scotty, is there's a report on this where there's a male cheerleader that works for them, and Dan Snyder asked the guy to do cartwheels. Like, sorry, if you're offended by that, you've never worked at a radio station. You've never worked in the sporting business. Like, it's busting. It's constant nonstop busting, for God's sake. That's part of the job. And if you can't handle that and it's too much for you,
you're going to go to the media and say that I've been bullied. I don't know if I buy that either. So I wouldn't want my wife working in an environment like this, my mom working in an environment like this. I get all of that. But to just sit there and then castigate an entire industry. And, oh, by the way, we got to throw a fire blanket over everybody and not talk about this openly. And honestly, this is a terrible thing. And it shouldn't have happened. But what that was being reported was going on with this team is not true. It's way better than all of that. And I think that you're okay to come out and say that without acting like that you're advocating people conducting themselves this way.
What is the deal with Larry Michael, who was fired? Because there's some scathing allegations in the story about him. Like, I don't even know. One of them, like, you know, I think he said, you know, I'm quoting. He said, you can't mess with her, though, because, you know, she's Pharrell'd every guy in the team, right? And then another accusation said that he squeezed a woman's face after a late night taping of a program and told her she was cute. Are people talking about that, too? Like, because that guy, I said today on the show, like, there's no guy that has a job that powerful, like, you know, the play-by-play guy with the Washington Redskins, you know, Sonny Jurgensen, he did it literally till he was like 130. And then Bill Hillgrove drove his car through a grocery store. You know, you heard this story in Pittsburgh. The guy went in and filled his script, went home and cracked a beer, and they arrested him in his kitchen and he blew double. And he's like, the guy at the store told me it happens all the time. Now, if the Steelers don't whack him, then he'll never get whacked. But people don't walk away from those jobs ever. So he left in a hurry. What were they saying about him locally?
Well, look, Larry, you know, Larry's kind of got a bad rep just because Sonny Sam and Frank, well, of course, the team you're talking about there with Sam Hoff, Sonny Jurgensen, and Frank Herzog. And Larry had this reputation of going in and strong arming those guys out. I got a full disclosure, Scotty. Larry's been a mensch to me. Like, Larry's been tremendous to me my entire career, but nothing but a good dude. Helped me with charity auctions. He came on with overnight shows I was doing that for absolutely no reason other than the kindness of his heart. What they're talking about with him is inappropriate. I mean, the allegations are inappropriate. There's certainly, I mean, you're talking about 15 different individuals coming forth with this. It's not like it's one person that has a vendetta that might be stretching the truth a little bit. So I don't know. It's not good to hear the conduct and the reports that you're hearing here. It sounds like it's a lot of, you know, asking women to wear certain things when they're going in to close a deal because you think that it'll help walking them up the suites and all that stuff. You know, it's not a good look, and it'll be interesting to see what the outcome is. I don't know. I've been at station events where people get drunk and they do stuff they normally wouldn't. And like 6 years later, if like there was a microscope put on that situation, you're going to feel very differently with about it that night. I don't want to defend this behavior. I don't want to defend Larry just because I like Larry and he's been good to me. But it's such a tough thing in the way that it's being kind of built for us. Whereas if you say anything other than this is the apocalypse and they need to strip Dan Snyder of this organization, you're kind of being cast as somebody that is like sympathetic to abuse or women or some sort of it. That's not me. I heard what you said, Scotty, about the way that I'm the same way. Like, that's not my bag. Like, I'll curse out a phone screener. You know, I'll get into it with another host on the show. We'll point at each other and scream and yell and flip over trash cans. And like, I got my own demons. But, you know, I don't know. It's a tough thing when you look at how much animosity there is towards the people that we're talking about. Larry Michael, Dan Snyder, everybody, Bruce Allen, the people in the front office. These are some of the most hated people in Washington media. It's very, very easy to just say they're devils. Let's go ahead and take them down to town square and string them up. I'd like to hear more information. I'd like to hear another side of the story. And I hope at some point Dan Snyder and this group comes out and at least addresses some of this. We never hear from the Emperor. Like, whether he's got new clothes or not, I don't know when the last time we heard from Dan Snyder is. It would be good to hear his side of this story.
You know, guys, what happens is that, like, these things, these allegations come out, and guys, like, that get pinned, they get then they go home and their wives leave them. And then they get a divorce and then they get publicly humiliated. The wife feels humiliated. Then she starts freaking out. Then they divorce. And like these, the bloodletting is just beginning in D.C. with the guys that are getting accused. their problems are just beginning. It's bad enough with their careers on the line and they're getting fired and then they go home and then their wives divorce them and all kinds of, cause they, you know, they've been lying to them. So, God only knows what happens to any, I don't wish that on anybody, but, it's no. Crazy. I only have like, Mafia, how much time do I got? Like a minute? Mafia, not minute and a half. So let me ask you just like a car crash here. How do you think the Capitals are going to do in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
I love the fact that we immediately seemingly transition to hockey. That's Scotty. I talk to Carlson every week. I think between Samsonov and Holpe, I like that they have some chemistry in the goal. I think they're going to be able to, first of all, they're going to regain momentum in this. They got the championship experience. The guys seem very confident. They got the greatest goal scorer of all time on the team. It'll be interesting to see the draw. And without the fans, they seem to be very dubious of playing with no fans in the stadium. They're going to Toronto and not Edmonton. They seem to enjoy that as well. Mm-hmm. I like it, Scotty. You know the reputation. I mean, the second round and done was before they won the Stanley Cup. That seemed to be what everybody thought of them. But they seem very confident. They seem excited to get back and play hockey. And this is what I love about hockey players, man. They're all in. It's unified. Nobody's opting out. Everybody's playing. They want to go in there and beat the hell out of each other while all this is going on. It's going to be the greatest gift in all the world to have a professional playoff hockey to talk about in Washington, D.C. while all this COVID is going on.
10 seconds. You taking Scherzer or Cole in that opener next week?
Good Lord. Is it going to be Scherzer or should it be Strasburg? That's a great question. I'm never going to bet against Mad Max. That guy's an absolute stud. He's a gamer, and I can't wait to watch that matchup. Thank God. We are the flagship, by the way, the Washington Nationals. World Series champion, Washington Nationals.
Scotty. That's right. Hey, I love you, Chad. Always fun having you on. Have fun with this story. It's going to be crazy. Good having you on. I'll see you soon, bro.
You're the best of the business, Scotty. Thank you so much for having me. I always appreciate it.
My man, Chad Dukes with the Fan in DC on a Bench. Mafia, you know that I have to mention at least once a night on this show how bad it sucks that we can't play our music. And we play all these cheesy music beds they got or whatever it is. I don't even know. I have no idea. I don't even ask anymore about all the rules and such and all the I don't even know like who's in charge of the rules or the music or the, you know, the networks we're on and all this other stuff. I can't even keep up with all the rules. But you know that my whole career, the show was, and I say this so many times, people get sick of hearing it, but I don't care. Like, it really makes me sick to my stomach that I can't, like, shred and play the music that you know I like, right?
Yeah, I know it bothers you. You know, it's been a battle we fought for most of the time we've been together. You know, there were a couple of years there where we had free will, do whatever we want, no rules. And after that, it's been, like you said, nothing but rules, nothing but do this, don't do that. This is how I want it. So it's tough.
It's a nightmare. So, you know, going back to the story, I know I don't have much time here. I just have a minute. But I have, listen, I've never been involved in anything like that. The whole, you know, I know some people get down on that. Like people cheat and people, you know, cheat on their wives, girlfriends. They backstab, do all this stuff, sexually harass women at work. Talk dirty to women or, you know, bemoan them, all this other stuff. It's not my bag. It's not my cup of tea. It's not me. And I've told you this a million times, Mafia, you know, it's true. I mean, it's not in my DNA. I mean, I don't know, maybe I guess everyone's capable of doing it. At some point you could lose your mind one day and just do it. It's pretty easy probably to lose your mind for 5 minutes. And to and then in 5 minutes your whole world ends, your whole life changes, you lose everything, you get a divorce, all the rest. But I'm telling you, all these dudes that are gonna go home with these problems that are wives, I bet 90% of them are getting divorces.